We're going to start early in our sermon, and unfortunately, when I penned the bulletin, I wasn't thinking, and because the title in the bulletin is very similar, but the title of my sermon is not being the salt of the world, because we are not the salt of the world, we are the salt of heaven, but we are the salt of the earth. According to the scriptures, that's what the scripture tells us. That's what Jesus called us, that we are the salt of the earth. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And as I said, these two sermons, the one that I did on being the light, and this one is also a repeat. But as I said, the reason for it is with this time of year, knowing that Advent is here, that God definitely has placed in us the ability to be something at this time of year. And these two things, salt and light, are so important in our world that I felt we needed to address them once again, knowing that this time of year is a very special time of year for Christianity. And it's amazing to me because a large portion of our world celebrates Christmas. They won't speak the word Christmas because it's happy holidays and you know, the word Christmas, if you would say, and I think it's funny because I've literally seen it, and I'm sure some of you have, where you will say Merry Christmas to someone after they've said happy holidays to you, and everybody just looks at you like, foul, you're not allowed to say that. Why? Maybe it's a happy holiday for you. I don't know what holiday it is, but for me, it's Christmas. So have a Merry Christmas. I'm a Christian. If you're going to celebrate Christmas, this is what I used to tell the guys I worked with in the machine shop. This is 20 years ago. If you're going to celebrate Christmas, be a Christian. If you're not going to be a Christian and celebrate Christmas for the reason that it's here, which is the birthday of Christ, amen? That's what it represents for us. Was it the actual birthday? No, we know that. But if you're going to celebrate it, be a Christian. If you're not going to be a Christian, go to work. Why should you celebrate that holiday? Take April Fool's off. For a fool says in his heart, there is no God. You got your own holiday. That's horrible. That's horrible. Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Well, I was all but a pagan back then. Bad thing is, I still say it today. Because here's the reality. We are to be salt and light in this time of year, bringing up the name of Christ at every opportunity. And that's what being salt of the world is. If you look at where we are in Matthew in chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 13, but I want you to look at what comes before it, because I want us to understand this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. Okay, in verse 3, now you guys don't have to put this up because everybody out there on the internet knows that, you know, this is the Beatitudes. He says in verse 3, blessed are. Verse 4, blessed are. Verse 5, blessed are. 6, blessed are. 7, blessed are. 8, blessed are. 9, blessed are. 10, blessed are. 11, blessed are. Do you see all that blessing? He's talking to us, the church. If we are in the church and we are this thing, we are a blessing. Poured out 11 times. A blessing poured out 11 times by God. And in that then, Jesus Christ goes on and says from verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, I'm going to deal with the first part of that, the very first statement that Christ made there. He says, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? How does that apportion to us? Now, was Jesus talking a physical salt? Was he talking calcium, I think it's calcium carbonate, I'm not sure. Sodium chloride. Thank you. See, I knew somebody out there knew what I was talking about because I didn't. Sodium chloride is salt, okay? NaCl. In fact, I ought to know that. I know the chemical makeup, but not what it's called. But when you think about salt, what is it? What is it? I think it's amazing. I want you to Google it when you get home. Google the uses for salt, okay? How is salt used? How many uses are there for salt? And you will be amazed because it is the most used natural product in our world. 14,000 different uses to date. 14,000, okay? It's more than, that's what the internet says, more than 14,000 uses in our world today in its natural state. Okay? From it, we would derive all kinds of things. How important is it to us? Without salt, you and I would die because our body is made up a certain percentage of salt. And if the salt depletes, guess what happens to our muscles? They don't work. How many of you have ever had cramps? Okay? Guess what? Cramps are or can be from a lack of salt. Your body needs potassium and it needs magnesium to operate. The one is a trigger to make the muscles contract and the other is to make it release. So if you don't have salt in your body, your muscles will not work. You must have salt in your body to be alive. Please get that. That's a very physical reality, but it's also a very spiritual reality because without the salt of life, who is Jesus Christ in our lives, we are dead. So when I think of this 14,000 physical uses, how many spiritual uses do you think God has for us who are supposed to be the salt of the earth? He just said we're blessed, 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 blessed. 11 times blessed. Do you think that blessing is just meant to stay here with us? Do you think it's something that, oh, looky what I got, and then you keep it and don't give it away? Wrong. That's why it says here in the Word, if the salt has become tasteless, can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. When we stop using our salt, when we stop being salty, we're no good to ourselves, nor to God, nor anything or anyone else. That's God's warning to us. So we need to be salt. So how do we use salt? How does salt get used in our world? Well, the first thing we all know is salt is a preservative. Now, I'm going to speak spiritually, okay? We know, and I'm sure many of you, how many of you have had one of the old sugar-cured hams, okay? Some of the best ham in the world, right? Does it taste like sugar? No, it tastes like salt. Because salt is one of the main ingredients. So is sugar. But salt is one of the main ingredients. Salt is the preservative that keeps that meat. And I can remember being a kid and with my parents and my grandparents, we would do a salt brine and do a ham in a salt brine. And then we got intelligent because we learned a little bit more and we started to do the dry brine, which is just a dry, powdery stuff that you would put on the meat. And it was 65% salt. Many of us use salt all the time for a preservative. It's what we did before refrigeration, amen? Now we have refrigerators, so we don't need salt anymore, right? No. Salt is a mainstay. How many of you have it on your table? Well, if not on your table, at least in your cupboard for when you're cooking, right? Because many of us, we don't want our hubbies having all that salt because it's bad for their ticker, right? And I'm being real because some of us here, you know, hey, so I don't put it on the table. He can have the accent, but he can't have the salt, right? We know how it works, so we know where the salt is. In fact, if you look in our nightstand, you'll probably find a little salt shaker there. Because we want to be salty. There's a reason we want to be salty, because salt preserves. Now, I want you to think about that spiritually. How do we help preserve? Well, it's by taking what we already have, which is Jesus Christ, in our lives, and giving it out to others. Because really and truly, the only thing that preserves is Jesus Christ. And He is the epitome of the salt of preservation, for it is only Christ who saves. Can I get an amen? And as you think about that reality, and as you allow God's truth to permeate everything else in your life, to take the place of everything else in your life, you will find that you are preserved, but that you also, in giving the word to others, can help preserve their lives. Because it is only the word of God that saves. Nothing else. There is nothing else under heaven or earth by which we can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ except through the word of God. That so amazes me because I have a lot of Christian friends, and I'm sure you do too, who they'll tell you, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I pray to Jesus all the time. Oh, awesome. You know, what book are you reading? Huh? Well, I'm reading, and then they'll give you some book, you know, and it isn't the Bible, right? If they're reading the book. Oh, I don't read books. I read magazines. That's not what I'm talking about. Because how can you know Jesus if you're not in the Word? If you're not taking the salt in, if you're not mining the salt yourself, how can you have salt? We need to be in the Word. The Word of God is the salt of life for us. And as we take that Word out and we give it out to other people, we are helping them by giving them the preservation of life, which is Jesus Christ. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Remember, let's speak it like the Hebrews do. They don't speak it in past tense, they speak it in present tense. When they speak the scriptures, doesn't matter how long ago they were written, they speak them in present tense because they realize this is a living and active word. It is real now. It was real then, it's real now. Speak it in present tense because it applies to you. Applies to your life and applies to everybody else's life. So that's how we preserve life. That's the first thing that salt does. It is a preservative. And as we apply that salt to our lives, it begins to keep us from sinning. How many of you, I had a pastor tell me this one day, how many of you can sin if you're quoting scripture when you're doing it? How many of you can sin if you are literally praising God? In the midst of your sin, you're praising God. How well does that work for you? I love you, Lord. And you're over here doing, nah, I don't think so. Somewhere the mind and the heart have to say, this isn't right. Am I right? The Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, is a preservative for us, keeping us unto eternity. The next thing I want us to look at is that we are to take salt out into the world as a preservative, right? That's how we deal with it here. Well, we also deal with it, and I want you to think about this because I want you to go to another place with me because I need us to think about salt in a different way. Salt is also something God has given each and every one of us, and he's given us each a portion of it, and he calls it something else. Does anybody know what it might be called? Can you think of what does God give us? Every believer gets these things. Every believer. Yes? Gifts. Faith is a gift. Grace is a gift. God gives gifts. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 11. Because I want us to understand something that Jesus gives us something that we can take out into the world and truly use that helps preserve, that helps bring others to life. And it's so amazing because when we read this, we're going to see that primarily it says it's for the church, but I'm going to challenge you with it. From verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 4, we read these verses. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I want you to think about that aspect. I want you to think about it metaphorically. All right? Each of us has been given something to add to it, to bring life, to grow the church. Now, I don't know about you, but the church is supposed to include sinners. I think it does. I'm looking out here. I think it does. I'm looking in here. I think it does. But there's a whole lot more out there who are supposed to be in here. We need to understand that Scripture says that it's for the building up of the church, correct? It's for the edifying of the body, but it's also to bring others in. We misconstrue this language here to mean that we only share our gifts inside the church. That's wrong. We are to take our gifts out into the world to grow the church. That's the salt God has given you personally. God has equipped you in such a manner that you have something that you get to take outside of this church and salt the earth with. And in so doing, you flavor life, and people want what you have. And they come. How many of you ladies, okay, and some of us guys, we like to cook, right? How many of you ladies have added salt to a dish because it just didn't have the right flavor? Something was missing. And you put just a pinch of salt in there, and all of a sudden it just pops. Yep, that's what it was. Needed just a touch of salt. I think it's so amazing. I used to go to school. How many of you, when you were in school, you loved cafeteria food, right? First thing I would do was head for the salt shakers and the pepper shakers and the ketchup and the mustard, right? Got to get them condiments because, boy, I'll tell you, without that stuff on there, that food tasted like cardboard. And that's terrible because my aunt was the cook at one school and my aunt was a cook at another school. I had two family members. But they had to cook it a special way. They were told how to make it. Green beans without salt, you might as well eat grass. Okay? I love green beans. Don't get me wrong. I love green beans, but they got salt on them in my house. A little bit of pepper and maybe even a little butter. But that salt, if you don't put salt on them, yuck. It's the same way in our lives. God has given you a salt shaker. For some of you, it's called the gift of hospitality. For some of you, it's called the gift of giving. For some of you, it's called the, for some of you, it's called the, for some of you, it's called the. All right? Whatever your gift is, it's not just to be used in here. It is to be used outside in this world to draw others into the heart of Christ. That they see what you have and they say, why? You know, I go through this life every day. How comes you're smiling and you're out here, you're being happy? And what's so different about you? You know, life sucks. Yes, it does. Because we made it what it is. Can I get an amen? It was not intended to be this way. In the beginning, everything was perfect. But because of sin, and who brought sin in? Man with Satan. We did it. You know, there's an adage out there, too many cooks spoil the pot. God had it cooking perfect, didn't he? And all of a sudden, two more tried to add into it. And sometimes less is more. Amen? God's been trying to get it back to that. In fact, he's not just trying, he has succeeded through his son, Jesus Christ. And as we, the church, take what God has gifted us with and we begin using it out there into the world and edifying the body, which we don't know who's in the body. We sang the song earlier and I spoke about it, that there's a book of life that was written before the foundations of the earth. We don't know what names are written in there, but we know our name was written in there before we knew our name was written in there. Can I get an amen? Because somebody shared their salt with us, and we desired that taste, and we came back to it. Jesus said, if you come to me, you'll hunger and thirst no more. Can you get the idea how this all plays in? God has some of the biggest pictures of who he is and how he operates in the scriptures. If we'll just put the pictures together. Unfortunately, we see this much of the tapestry because we're so narrow viewed. But if we would step back just for a little bit and take in a little bit bigger picture, we would see just a little bit more of how all of us come together, how the whole church is supposed to salt the earth to bring others to saving grace. That we don't have to, you know, and some of you are so scared to death, oh my goodness, you mean I got to go out there and evangelize. I didn't say that. If that's your gift, yes, do it. But for some of you, it's just, I love what Miss Gloria does, okay? I do it, but not to the extent she does it. I do it for your birthdays and anniversaries. Miss Gloria does it just because you're alive. She sends you cards, and she says, thinking of you, loving you, missing you, whatever. That's her gift. God has blessed her so graciously, and I love her for it because that's her salt, and she is not using it sparingly. It's going out there, and I praise Jesus. And Miss Gloria is saying, stop talking about me. See, tell me God's not in the house. God has given us all the equipment we need. You, Merle, do you need to be the pontificator, the guy that stands up front? I think he answered that question. No. That's right. God needs you to be you. The way he equipped you to reach the people that only you are going to reach. Brother Wendell, are you going to be the... And I have two Wendells. Yeah, I'm looking at Wendell and Lyle. Oh, my gosh. I'll stick with Brother Wendell. Then I'll go to Brother Lyle. Brother Wendell, you're a good teacher, aren't you? Yes, you are. You may say that because I'm asking the question. Pastor's asking one of his deacons. The answer is? Because you have been trained up, and that's the gift God has given you. And you not only use it here, but you use it, you're teaching in your military, don't you? You're a teacher there. And you take, whether you know it or not, you take the very things of Christ into those teachings. The generosity, the love, the grace, the mercy, all those things come out. And when somebody finally says, how do you put up with all these people? Now the door is open for you to say, Jesus Christ. Okay? Brother Lyle, you love to sing, don't you? That's awesome. Yep, I know. You've told me that. You've been volunteering at Cedar Haven. You've been singing down there. That is so good because that's sharing your salt. Okay? Can you play the piano? Well, don't try it then because that's not your salt. All right? Do you get my point? Okay, do you use the salt you have? Don't try to use somebody else's. God has equipped you to do what only you can do because as we just read here, each joint and as all those portions come together, we find the fullness, the working of the body. We're each supposed to do what we can do, not what we're not equipped to do. But do what you do and do it what? Well and often. And often, be the salt of the earth. That's who God has apportioned you to be. How else can we be salt? To me, this is some of the most amazing stuff. Because I want you to think about this. Salt, as we spoke earlier, enhances flavor. Okay? Salt enhances flavor. Now, I have to speak about this just a touch. Okay? Because when we are salting food, we go at it, what? Gingerly, right? Okay, as a cook, one of the things I will do, I love to make, this is going to sound silly to some of you, I love to make Pannhausen scrapple, okay? When you make Pannhausen scrapple, this is Pennsylvania Dutch stuff, if you don't butcher, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But you start with a 25-gallon butcher kettle, and you put all your bones and scrap in there from butchering. Okay, because it's got all the meat on it, the things you couldn't cut off, and you cook it, and you render it into a broth, and you pull the bones out, and then you cut the little pieces of meat off, because now they'll come off real easy with a paring knife, and you throw the bones away, and you take that broth, and you season it with salt and pepper, and you got to taste it. Now, a 25-gallon batch of broth. Now, it's not 25 gallons because that when you pull the bones out, it comes down. It's maybe half that, right? So we've got 12 gallons of broth. How much salt do you think you need to make good panhoss and scrapple? A pound? What do you think? I have no idea. Because I take a handful and I sprinkle it in. Then I grab another handful and I sprinkle it in. Then I take the ladle and I stir it around. And I take that ladle and I taste it. If it's good, fine. If not, take another half a handful, sprinkle some of that in, and I taste it again. In other words, we got to be checking ourselves. We got to make sure that we don't put too much salt in, because too much salt will drive you away. How many of you have ever sat down and had a meal where you put something together and all of a sudden it's like you're telling everybody, oh, don't touch the salt shaker. You don't need salt on that. It's plenty salted. Just like we were talking about salted ham. Okay? I can remember being a kid and we would get dry beef. How many of you ever had dry beef? All right? Man, I love dry beef. But there are sometimes it just gets too salty. So my mom would take the dry beef and soak it in water overnight to draw the salt out. Then we could eat it. Because otherwise it was so salty, you couldn't stand to eat it. And that's what we need to remember. A little dabble do ya, okay? I have no idea where that comes from, but I can remember that since I was a kid. It's a hair product from years ago. Brill cream. A little dabble do ya, okay? I mean, I'm showing just how old I really am. That's when we would slick back our hair. Most of those people are bald now. A little dab did them. So when we're salting, we need to make sure that we're adding flavor, not overpowering. Okay? We need to remember that God wants us to make it tasty. He wants us to show the goodness. And I think this is amazing because this is what I wrote. It says, helping others see God in the everyday. So many times when I'm out in my world and in our world, I'll see God in some really special ways. And I'll talk to somebody, total strangers, okay? The other day I was up at Cabela's. This was weeks ago. I was up at Cabela's, and you know how the storm fronts go across that mountain there behind Cabela's? And it's just so amazing because you'll get this storm front that'll go through, and you get down on 78, and there's no storm. But you up on the mountain, it's snowing or raining. It's really weird. So I'm at Cabela's, and everybody's about their business, and it had just rained. And I'm walking into Cabela's, and I'm just standing there. The statue, that bronze statue, the Indian and the trader in the canoe. I'm standing there, and I'm looking. And this guy comes walking up by me, and he says, yeah, that's an awesome statue, isn't it? I said, oh, I'm not looking at the statue. He said, what are you looking at? I said, the double rainbows. What? I said, look. On either side from where we were standing, on either side, there was a double rainbow in the sky. I said, isn't God awesome? And this guy looked at me. He said, I never even took notice of that. I said, yeah, most people don't. We're so busy about our world, we forget to realize that God's right here trying to show us he loves us. And he just looked at me, and then kept walking. I don't care if he received it or not. I put the salt out there just enough because he did not see until I showed him. But then I needed to speak a word of truth. And that word of truth is, why is the rainbow in the sky? As a sign. Isn't that what the scripture says? As a sign of the covenant that God will never flood the earth again. And look what our world's turned that sign into. That's the horribleness of it. We need to draw it back. Just put enough flavor out there to draw people back that they can see God in the everyday. How many of you see God in the everyday? How many of you want to see God in the everyday? That's the awesome part. If you want to, that means you're going to concentrate on Him and He will show Himself to you. How do I know that? Jeremiah 29:11. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11, 12, and 13. Because it says in there, the last part of that 12 and 13, it says, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. The fourth thing I want us to think about, and this is kind of cute, because this is why our world hates Christianity right now. Do you know salt kills weeds? Yep. I had one of these great big, and I can't think, I call them foxberries. I don't know what they're actually called, the purple berries, the things that get the purple berries on it, stain all over your, you know, if you smush them, then you get, everything turns purple, and if the birds eat them, you got a mess on your car. You know what I'm talking about, the purple, the stupid thing that, it's a weed that grows, gets real big. I can't think of what it's called. We had one growing in our cellar window, in the thingy on the side of the house that accesses the cellar window. Had one growing down in there. It's like, how did it get a seed down in there? I have no idea. But this thing grew up, and I mean to tell you, it was, what, 8 feet tall? Because I was lazy, and I didn't take care of it, and that root got big. And finally, I got tired of pruning it off every year. And I went and bought a bunch of rock salt, and I dumped about 3 pounds of rock salt down there. I haven't seen that bush since. It is gone. I think everything else in there that was alive is dead too, but that's all right. Ain't no weeds growing in there. Salt is a killer if too much of it is put on. Not too much. If that's its desired purpose, that's what it's meant to do. And we need to understand that when we bring our salt against the things of this world, if we continue in it, it will kill it. That's why our world is telling us to shut up. Because it doesn't want to die. This world wants its sin and wants all its stuff because it knows that you can have death and life. You have to have one or the other. And with us having life in us, I don't know about you, but I'm going to pour the salt into everyone's life. Because the next thing I want you to think about is salt is used for healing. Salt is used for healing. Have any of you ever had a canker sore in your mouth? Okay. When I was a kid, I used to get them all the time. I would get these stupid canker sores. Or how many of you have ever bit your lip? Hurts like a bugger, doesn't it? Takes forever to heal and close up. You want to get it to heal and close up real quick? Take the salt shaker. Make your finger wet. Salt that puppy. And lay it on there. I'll guarantee you, you're going to sing hallelujahs. Because it's going to hurt like all blazes. But it will kill all the germs that are in your mouth. And believe me, your mouth is filthy. Okay? Your mouth is filled with germs. Because that's where enzymes are. That's the first enzymes that are formed for digestion. Okay? And I want you to think about this. That's why you get those sores and they last forever. Because it's constantly wet. So you got to kill those germs. How do you do that? Use salt. Salt on a wound will help heal that wound. Now, you got to watch how much salt you put on it because you can put so much salt on it that you dry it out and you actually make a problem. But salt is used in healing. The next thing I want you to think about is salt is used for cleaning. How many of you ladies know that if you have a greasy kitchen countertop or a stovetop, you can take salt with a little bit of water and put it on top of that, make it warm, get it warm, put salt and water on top of that, and just let it sit for a little while and get a scrub brush and scrub it with that salt water or that salt paste, and it will take that grease off of your stove. Salt. Salt is also used in cleaning calcium deposits. If you have hard water, and we live in Pennsylvania, so many of us have hard water, ask Brother Mitch, he can tell you. water softener is salt.
And the salt cleans the brine in the softener. 2 o'clock in the morning. Brush your teeth at 2 o'clock in the morning and your regeneration cycle, you're going to get salt water.
Yep. Because the salt takes out, it cleans out the junk in the water. Okay? And it's the same in your bathtub. If you've got a calcium buildup, make a salt paste. Put it in there and scrub your shower. It'll eat the calcium. It'll eat it. And it won't harm your tub because it's non-abrasive. It melts as you're scrubbing it. Think about that. 14,000 uses. I just went over six, and I used the biggest ones. It's used industrially by the tonnage to make all kinds of stuff, okay? I want you to think about how, if God says we are the salt of the earth, and salt is this important to our world, over 14,000 different uses for one product, how does God want to use you this Advent season? How does God want you to use your salt into this world? He has given you something so special that it has your name on it. Because even if I have the same gift you have, I can't do with my gift what you're going to do with yours. That's how personal God has made our brand of salt. And God wants to use your brand of salt. Okay? We're not all Morton, and we're not all McCormick. We are all different, for God has made us the way we are, and in Christ Jesus, that way is the truth and the life. Do you get my point? Be the salt of the earth. God wants to use you daily in over 14,000 different forms. Are you prepared? Are you ready to meet God and to be used of Him in such a way as to salt the earth and make it the goodness that only God can through you? If so, pray with me this day. Father God, we come before you in praise and in prayer. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have made us the salt of the earth. And Lord, as we go through this time of Advent, may we be that salt. And may we be the light as well, shining that light so that others may see the darkness that they're in. And then giving them that salt to flavor life, to bring them to hope, to cleanse them, to heal them. Oh, Lord, the metaphors just pour out of these two things like you wouldn't believe. So, Father, may we be the light and the salt, and may your glory shine through us. Go with us now, Lord, as we go out into this world. But Father, we're not done because there's more worship to come. So Lord, we just praise you and thank you, and we ask your blessing on this our day as we come to Advent, realizing that, Lord, you came once, and Lord, we also know you're coming again. And to that we give ourselves into the glory of your love, which is the cross and the resurrection, that we may live a life anew in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page. Or, if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.